For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, one of the most famous scriptures throughout the Bible. And I love the word, God so loved. You see, you ever thought about this? That God so loved you and I. God can't help but love his children. The Father loves loving us. He loves showing us his love. He loves showing us his goodness. Why? He can't help it. It is who he is. It's inside of him. God is love. God so loved. He can't help himself. He's crazy about his children. I remember when I was young and my father would be crazy about me on the ball field. We'd be playing sports and my dad would be out there and he'd be out there screaming. He'd be the loudest ones in the stands and then he'd be the loudest ones on the sideline. He'd be yelling and screaming, going crazy. And I might get a little embarrassed, but that didn't stop when I was just young. My father did it my whole life. And even as a grown adult now, many times I go to visit my dad and mom. And, you know, as a pastor, I like to go and sometimes just go and take my pastor's hat off and just go relax and be a son. But when I go out of town, I'll walk into the restaurant to meet my parents. And my dad will announce to the whole restaurant, this is my son. He's a pastor. And I'm like, Dad, you know, I just wanted to come in and relax. And now you're announcing to everybody I'm a pastor. What's he expect me to do? Go around and bless everybody's food? God bless you. Partake of the food now. Let's eat together. I don't know, but it's just who he is. I went to visit him in the hospital. And he was going to be having some minor surgery. He was in there. And the chaplain came in to pray. And my dad was like, I'm sorry, we don't need you. My son, he's a pastor and he's here. You know, he doesn't make a difference. He's so proud of his son. And, you know, I vowed when I was a young kid, when my dad was screaming on the sidelines like that, that when I have my kids, I was not going to be that way. And that lasted until I had my kids. And then when my kids were playing, I remember they'd be playing basketball or t-ball or baseball, football, whatever it was, were out there, and I'd be the loudest one in the stands. I'd be running down the sideline, and they would score a basket. I mean, it was just one basket, but I would take off my sweatshirt, woo-hoo, throw it around. I was running up and down the court with them, dribble, dribble, shoot, shoot. You know, I was so into it. I was so loud. I was that dad, and I still am that dad. Why? Because I'm proud of my kids. I love my kids. I just can't help it. I just get excited about my kids. And you do the same thing. It's who we are. We have this love. We can't help but love our kids, even when they blow it, even when they've made mistakes. We may get mad and frustrated, but we can't help but love our children. And God so loved us. God loves us so much today. I want to talk to you about this love of the Father. We're in a series called Rise Up, and I'm talking today about rising up with the Father's love. In Luke, it talks about three different stories in Luke about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Today, I want to talk to you about that last one, the lost son, better known as the prodigal son. It's parables, that stories that Jesus would tell us to help us understand how the Father loves us, how the Father sees us, and how the kingdom of God works. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, let me paraphrase this for you. It's a story about the prodigal son. It says that one day, a son came to his father and said, Dad, give me all of my inheritance now. I want everything I got coming to me now. Isn't that like today's generation? We never outgrow that. I want it now. It's mine now. We're so impatient. We can't wait until the right timing. If we know it's coming to us, we want it now. That's what he said. Dad, I'm not waiting for you to die. I'm not waiting until I get to a certain age. I want to go ahead and get what's coming to me now. And so he asked for his inheritance. And the Bible says the father gave his son the inheritance and his son left the father's house. And he went out and he went to another town and he began to get friends who came around him. Everybody wants to be friends with a guy who's got money, right? So this young man had money, and everybody's coming around him. Everywhere he went, he's having a party. He's having a party, man. They're having this big thing. The Bible says he blew it on a party lifestyle. He blew it on prostitutes. They were just partying up, and everybody was around him as long as he had money. But his money began to run out, and he foolishly spent all of his inheritance on this party lifestyle. And then as soon as he spent all of his money, it says a great famine came to the land. And so he had a hard time finding work. People were hungry, people without jobs. And then finally he found a pig farmer who would allow him to go feed the pigs. And his whole pay was that he could eat from the place the pigs were eating. So whatever he fed the pigs, he was allowed to eat that as well. And it says that as he was feeding the pigs, and he was eating their junk and eating their mess, that finally he realized, wow, my father's servants have it a lot better than I do. I could at the very least go back to my father and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But can I come back and at least work as one of your hired hands? Because I know at least then I can eat a good meal. And so he arose, he got up, he rose up out of that pig's pen. He began to go to his father's house, and the Bible says that while he was a long ways away, that the father saw him, he ran to him, wrapped his arms around him, showed him compassion. He said, bring out the robe, give him a new ring, give him new sandals. My son has returned home again. He goes, kill the fatted calf. We're gonna have a great feast, a great party tonight. And as he was there, the oldest son comes in and he hears the music and he hears the dancing and he gets upset. And he's like, why are these people partying here when I'm getting home from work? And he says, hey man, your son, your dad's son, your brother, he's returned home and your dad's throwing a big party. And he was very upset and he went away. He didn't even go to the party because he was so jealous that his younger son, the younger brother, was getting attention. Now, this story is a great story, and it tells us a lot about ourselves. I want you to write some things down about this story today. Number one, no matter what you are going through, don't leave the house. Don't leave the house. No matter what you're going through, don't leave the house. Who you surround yourself with really matters in life. It's important that you stay connected to the people of God. It's important that you stay connected to friends who are going to encourage you, friends who are going to be there to support you and carry you when you go through hard times. Not friends who are just there when times are great. Not just friends who are there because you got a new boat. Or not friends who are there just because you can help them. But I'm talking about friends who will love you in the good times and the bad times. Friends who will be there to support you and your family when you go through the hard times. Don't leave the house. It's very important. Your friends are either pulling you forward or they're pulling you backwards. You ever notice that? Your friends are either going to pull you forward and help you go forward, or your friends are going to pull you backwards. You've got to make sure. Look what Hebrews 10:25 says. It says, forsake not. Look, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Hebrews 10:25. We're not to stop meeting together, but we come together and we encourage each other. It's been a while, hasn't it? We've had to be off church for the last 6 weeks, and we've had to stay and have church at home and online. And I know we miss each other. It's important. We can see the value of just this short period of time of how much we need each other. I miss seeing your smiling faces. I miss your encouraging words. And we need each other. And so I encourage you that as the church begins to open back up, that we get back to the house of the Lord as soon as possible. And we make it a priority because we have got to stay in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord, listen, it's okay to watch online, but we're never meant to live that way. We were meant to come together to encourage each other. The online is for those who can't be here, those who are sick, and those who are not able to be here at this time. Online's for them, and maybe those who aren't attending church yet, and they're just checking things out. This is for them. But listen, as a Christian, we need to be in the house of the Lord. It's important. God designed us to stay in the house. Number two, I want you to see this. Your children's decisions are not always a direct reflection of your parenting. We see this was a good man. The father was a good man, and he raised some good sons. But this son made some unwise choices. He went out there and blew his inheritance on a party lifestyle, making unwise choices, unwise friends, and found himself hitting rock bottom. He found himself out there in the middle of the pigspen. And we can look at ourselves and say, what did I do wrong? It's a natural instinct. I do it as a parent. When my kids make mistakes, I think, what did I do? Sometimes that's the first question we ask. What did I do wrong? How did I fail my child? And I want you to know that sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes you can raise your kids according to the scripture. You can raise your kids in the house of the Lord, and for whatever reason, they will still make some bad mistakes. Not all of them, but sometimes it does happen. And when it does, I don't want you to beat yourself up over the head, realizing this, that sometimes it's just that they got to learn a different way. And we always are quick to judge ourselves. And I want you, parent, today, I'm speaking to somebody right now. This is you right now. You're in this situation. You've had a child who's made some great mistakes and they turned their back on God. And I want you to know, don't give up on that child. Keep looking for that child. Keep praying for that child and realize the things you have planted inside of them will come back to life and God will return them back to the Father's house. Write this down. The prodigal son's life didn't go downhill until he left the Father's house. His life was great until he left the Father's house. He didn't get in trouble until he left the Father's house. He didn't surround himself with the wrong people until he left the Father's house. So you got to realize this, that Satan uses the same tricks over and over and over again. Satan doesn't use anything new. He uses the same tricks, and the same tricks that he uses to get Christians discouraged and out of church is simply this: if I can get them out of the house, if I can get them too busy to come to church, if I can get them working too many jobs to be a church, if I can get them doing too many activities to be a church, if I can get them offended, don't go to church, this person offended me. Don't go to church, this person made a mistake. All these things can happen and they get us out of the house. And listen, that's what Satan wants. Satan wants us out of the house. You gotta realize that trick. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 2:11. So Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. See, these are the schemes that he repeats over and over again, is that he wants to get us out of the house. Why? Because when we get away from the pack, the Bible calls us the sheep, and when we can get away from the shepherds, when we get away from the flock, that's the ones that the enemy attacks first. That's the ones that become vulnerable to the attack of the ones who are isolating themselves and pulling away from the flock. So it's important for your protection, for your encouragement, for your feeding of your spirit. Stay in the house. Stay in the middle of the flock. Don't just stay in the house. Stay in the middle of the flock. That's where the safety is today. Don't let the enemy trick you into leaving. Look what Psalms 1 says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. That person, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in seasons, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. Do you want to prosper today? Stay planted in the house of the Lord. Don't leave the house. Don't stand or run with the wicked. It's okay to witness. It's okay to let your light shine. But listen, you're called to stay planted in the house of the Lord. Don't let the enemy trick you into isolating yourself. Don't let the enemy trick you now that it's been 6-7 weeks of missing church, that it's okay, we can keep doing it. No, it's time to get back to the house of the Lord. When the doors reopen, you get there. When you have a chance to be in the house, be there, saying, I got to connect myself to the flock. See, there's safety in the house. There's teaching in the house. There's correction in the house. It's where I get fed in the house. There's encouragement in the house. We need each other. Make sure you stay in the house. Write this down. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you rise back up. This young man, he left his father, and it wasn't until he ran out of money, the famine came, and he found himself feeding the pigs and eating what the pigs were eating. Can you imagine that mess? Have you ever fed the pigs before? I remember as a child, my father and my grandfather, they were raising pigs, and I'd go out there help them feed them. Man, they stunk. They wallowed around in the mud and all the other mess that came along with that. And it stunk really bad. Man, they'd eat the most slop stuff. It was gross. And this man finding himself living out there with the pigs, feeding the pigs. You know, that's what happens. So many times in our life, how do we get there? How do we go from the Father's house of being blessed to having all that we need to rolling around with the pigs in the mud, stinking, no friends are there, everybody's left us, and we're like, how do we get here? You see, for many people, you got to hit rock bottom before you rise back up. Now, the wise person, he'll rise up before he hits rock bottom. The wise person will say, no, I can't leave the house. If I leave the house, I'm going to leave the blessing. I got to stay connected to the Father. I got to stay connected to the blessing. And as he sees himself drifting away, the wise person reattaches himself right back. But for many people, they got to hit rock bottom. And I can tell you as a pastor for over 20 years, I've seen this so much, where people hit rock bottom and they come right back. I gotta get back to church. I gotta get back and get my family back in church. I wish we would never have left. I wish I had never gotten my family out of church. And I sat with parents who cried because they got their children out of church for the wrong things and the wrong activities. And then it cost them later. And they're like, man, this was such a bad choice we made. But listen, you may be there right now. You may find yourself living around the pig's pen, living in a place that stinks, but listen, you don't have to stay there. You can rise up and head back to the Father's house. And listen, maybe you're headed there and you're not there now. Stop while you're ahead. Get back and reconnect to the Father's house. Look at this scripture, verses 16 through 18 in Luke chapter 15. It says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. He goes, I will rise up and I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. See, today I want you to realize this, that you've got to rise up out of your mess. You got to rise up. He was found himself there, but he came to his senses. And that's my prayer today, that you would hear this message today and you would come to your senses, realizing it's time for me to return back to the Father's house. Listen, son, listen, daughter, the Father's calling you back home. I want you to write this down as well. Things can fill you, but they cannot fulfill you. See, this young man thought that if he got more things, he was going to be fulfilled in his life. Things can fill you temporary. He was loving the party. He was loving the money. He was loving the friends. He was loving the women when they were all there, but they didn't last, and they never do. They never do. The world is exciting for a while, but it doesn't last. It all fades. And we see this playing out with so many people's lives. How many documentaries of professional athletes have we seen who made millions upon millions, and celebrities and rock stars who made millions upon millions only to say, it didn't fulfill me. I lived in a dark place. I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know who liked me for my money, who really liked me for me. And they found themselves in dark, desperate places. And it's those who always say, you know what, but I found my way out and I realized that my security comes from Jesus. And today I want you to realize that things will only bring you temporary fulfillment. They will not sustain you You got to know that. The things we're seeking after, the people we're trying to impress, the things we're trying to buy, they will only bring a temporary fulfillment. There's only one thing that will fulfill us and sustain us, and that's a relationship with the Father. And being back in the Father's house, being connected to the Father's house and connected back in the relationship with the Father. This is where fulfillment happens. Nothing else will sustain you. Everything the world gives me will pass. It's temporary. It's like eating a bag of chips. It may fill your hunger temporary, but it didn't sustain you because there was no protein. There was nothing there that you needed. And so today you realize that, man, I need to be connected back to the Father. Write this down. Sometimes God will give us what we think we need. Look, he will give us what we think we need for us to realize he is all we need. He is all we need today. And sometimes we have to get the things. Sometimes we got to have those things and realize that, man, that didn't bring fulfillment. Sometimes we think we want this person, and no, it didn't bring fulfillment. Sometimes we think we wanted this particular thing, and it didn't bring fulfillment. It may have brought some temporary happiness to us, but over time, that faded. It didn't last or sustain. And many times, it's not until we go through that that we realize this is only temporary. This is only filling me for a short time. No, God wants you to be fulfilled. He says, you drink from my cup, you'll never thirst again. Eat from my table, you'll never hunger again. See, he will sustain and fulfill us. This young man begins to make an apology up in his mind. He's like, all right, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell Dad I'm worthless. Dad, I'm sorry. I blew it. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Have you ever been there? I've been there. God, I don't even deserve to be used of you. God, I don't even deserve to be called your son. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to say, Father, can I just be as one of your servants? See, he didn't even ask to be accepted back as a son. He didn't even ask to be accepted back into the family. He just wanted to go and say, I'm just worthy to come. Hopefully I can at least be one of your workers. See, this mindset is one of, you know what? I'm no better because I've blown it. I'm no better than a servant. I'm not worthy to be called a son because I've blown it. And listen, you've blown it. I've blown it. We've all blown it at times in our life. And this is the great news about this story. It's the grace of a loving Father. God so loved us. And this Father showed great love. Look at the story in verse 20. Look what it says here. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming, filled with love. What was he filled with? Filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. See, God is filled with love and compassion. He didn't come back, and before his son could ever apologize, his son could never get the words out, Dad, I'm sorry. His father's already showing him love and compassion. His father's already wrapping his arms around him. His father ran to him. His father ran down that road, embraced him. Today, I want you to know, when you begin to rise up out of the pig's pen, out of the mess you're in, and you just put your eyes back into the heavens and say, Father, I've got to come back to you, and you take that step back to the Father. The Father is already looking for you. He is already waiting for you, and he's wanting to embrace you. He's wanting to wrap his arms of love around you. It's the compassion. It is his love. He cannot help but love. He says, put the robe around him, signifying royalty is here. He said, put the ring back on his finger. The ring was what was used to have the family emblem. And he could go and he could stamp that and purchase anything he needed to purchase with that family ring. Put new sandals on his feet. My son has returned back home. See, the father never treated him any different. The father didn't come back and say, son, why did you make this mistake? Son, why didn't you listen to me? That's what I would have done. That's what you would have done. Son, come on in, but let me give you a lecture now. If you just would have listened to me and waited, you wouldn't have blown all that money. If you just would have listened to me, I could have saved you. That's what I would have done, and that's probably what you would have done as well. But not our Father. He came first with compassion, wrapped his arms around him and loved him. It says the older brother, and I love this part of the story as I close it. It says the older brother, he came home and he heard music and dancing. I mean, can you believe that? The son's home. He doesn't even give enough time for the other son to get home. They're already having a party. They're already having music. They're already dancing and celebrating. I love that. But the older son was jealous. He's like, I never made a mistake. Never threw a party for me. He refused to go to the party, and his father came and found him and said, son, why aren't you coming? He said, dad, all these years I've served you faithful. I didn't blow all my money. I didn't do all the things to bring shame upon the family, but yet you never treated me this way. And he says, son, all that I have is yours. But today, your son, my son, your brother, who was dead, he's come back home. He's alive again, and we're going to celebrate. And see, for many of us here, we got to realize that when we're in the house, maybe we haven't left the house, that the Father says, all that I have is yours. All that God has is ours today. When you're in the house, be encouraged today. Rise up. Say, if you're already in the house, rise up. Thank you, Father. All that you have is for me. All the blessings, all the love of the Father, all the goodness of the Father is for me. And today, if you're not in the house, today's your day to return back to the Father. Today's your day to rise up, put your eyes back on the Father. Come back to a Father who loves you, who wants to wrap his arms around you. He's not going to be here to condemn you. He's not here to point out every bad thing you've done. He's here to wrap his arms of grace and love around us today. Will you rise up and come back home? Today's your day. It's time for you to rise up. If you're here today and you hear my voice, wherever you're at, I want you to say, Father, I'm ready to come back to you. Get up out of the mess. Come on, you've hit rock bottom. Now pick your head up. Don't stay there. Get out of that pigspen. Return back to home to the Father. I've known you've blown it. We've all blown it, but pick up your eyes. Come back to the Father today and say, Father, forgive me. And today, I surrender my life fully to you today. All of my sin, I surrender to you. Thank you for your grace that you gave me on the cross when you died for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, and from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm reconnecting to you. I'm coming back home to you today. Welcome back to the Father's house. Welcome back to the Father's house today. I'm glad you made that decision. Today we're going to have our worship team come, and they're going to close us out with a song, and then I'm going to come back and pray one more prayer in closing. But let's worship in closing today. Amen. I'm so thankful for the Father's love. His love today is speaking to you, is speaking to me. I'm overwhelmed with the love of the Father, and that's what I pray today, that you would rise up in the Father's love. I'm going to pray for you today, and I want you to know that God is calling you today. No matter where you're at, may you know that when you're in the house of the Lord, that everything belongs to you, is what the Father says. So today, Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for sons and daughters returning back to the house. I thank you, God, that they are picking their eyes up out of the pigspen, out of the mess they're in, and they're saying, I'm ready to come back home to the Father. And I thank you for those who have been faithful in the house. May they realize that all the kingdom is theirs. All the goodness of God is there. All the love of the Father is theirs today. May we see it. May we sense it. And may today, may we be overwhelmed with your love and grace in our life. Amen. Now listen, we are excited to see you back as we open the doors back next week, next Sunday. It's going to be an exciting day. We're going to make some changes. We're going to have some policy changes. Make sure you go on our Facebook page and see those, or for our website at mydestinychurch.com. We'll see how phase two looks as we go with that next phase of opening back up. We'll have 6 feet separation, some other things, no touching. We're going to have different things happening. So make sure you're there watching and seeing what's happening as we change those regulations. But we are excited to see you back in the house next Sunday morning. God bless you. We'll see you soon.